Good, my clock hasn't started yet. I'm not going to be like Chris Farley as the motivational speaker. A lot of what I put together, if you want to follow along, all of it is in here of what I'm going to be talking over. Not all of it, but there's some anecdotes that I'll come across as well. I put my email address and my phone number down, and as Steve Kish had said, like, we as coaches, we learn from each other, and you know, yeah, of course, my job now is to sell boats and stuff, but for the most part, it's just fun for me now to talk about rowing and, in particular, training and just what you guys deal with on a daily basis, because that, for me, has been the fun part of my new role, is going around to different colleges and different programs and getting to meet new people and stuff, because you do learn. And one of the things that I always did as a coach is every time I went out on a launch with somebody, I tried to learn something new. Maybe it was what not to do, but maybe it was what to do. And that's how I sort of evolved as a coach. But getting into race day preparation, I'm just going to be ripping through the first three pages, and then we'll sort of get to the meat of the discussion. Basically, I look at race day preparation as it doesn't start on race day or the day before race day. It starts months before. You know, setting up your training program, what your strengths and weaknesses are, what your team's strengths and weaknesses are. What races are you going to taper for or come down, you know, for, you know, really looking forward. Your technique, so how is your technique going to, you know, how are you going to impact your athletes technically so that you can use moves as a technical influence as well. You know, building your race plan, you know, some people will build their race plan like 2 days before. Okay, we're going to move it 500, we're going to move it 1,000. No, you want to try and build your race plan months before, because that's going to really impact how you train your athletes. Do you want them to be a fast-starting crew, a base crew, or a sprinting crew? And so getting to know your athletes and what you have or what you don't have sometimes. And then with race plan and strategy, you know, what I used to do is after I built a race plan, we'd adjust it as we'd go through the season. Travel arrangements, no whammies. You want to make your life easy the day before, the days before race day or getting to race day. So making sure you have the buses set up or the parents group. So who's going to be shuttling people, hotel reservations, food, all that stuff. You don't want to be doing that the day before or the week before. You have too much other stuff to deal with. And so making sure that that stuff is all taken care of. As you move forward to the week before for race day prep, it's important to look at how tough or easy the race is. So knowing your opponent, making sure you know what historical trends the coach is. Most coaches run in trends of where they make moves or what kind of team they have, if they're going to be fast, where their moves are going to be at 500. And that's something you should be doing as a coach, is not just watching your crew, but watching other crews as well, because it's invaluable. Like in college coaching, for example, like Brown always moved at 1,000. It was the Bruno 20. And we always knew it was there. So when they had their, we knew that they were the team to beat, we always knew that they were going to be taking a move. And we always had to educate our coxswains. They're going to be taking this move. You got to counter it. Or you got to be ahead of them and then hold them off. Knowing the state of your team going into the week before, so what kind of sicknesses or injuries you have. Because sometimes if you have your best athlete who is sick or injured or whatever, sometimes it's best to sit that athlete for a couple days so that you have him or her at 100% or as close to 100% on race day. If you keep beating this person down over the process of the week or the course of the week, you might not have that person at the top, his or her potential. Race course data, knowing what kind of course you're going to be on. As was stated earlier, rowing up in Philadelphia, knowing the turns, the current, wind channels, all that stuff, you got to make sure that you're really versed in all those areas so that you can guide and educate your coxswain and your athletes of what to do. Strategy adjustments, based upon what you find out about the course and who your opponent is, making those adjustments the week before is pretty crucial. 1 to 2 days before, going over your travel arrangements, make sure everything is ironclad. So again, you want to get 1 to 2 days before and know that everything is set, so you don't have to think. Giving out an itinerary, making sure with the itinerary that you hand it out 1 to 2 days before. As I forget the woman who was speaking in before me, but you know the way their minds work. If you hand out the itinerary 2 weeks before, you're going to know good and well that these kids are going to forget it. So as close to the race as possible, make sure they have it. For you guys being high school coaches, I would email the family the same night, because I would imagine that for the most part, you're utilizing your parent groups to get the athletes to races, that kind of thing. But I always did that with the college kids as well, so the parents knew what time the kids were going to be getting ready to race and all that stuff. Race plan and moves, the three R's. And that the three R's basically go back to everything else. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Just over and over and over again, making sure that they understand what they're going through. And then the last thing on the 1 to 2 days before, and this is where I get into sort of the meat of my discussion, is reading the crew. And you want to read the crew. You want to start reading the crew the day or two before the race to see if they're too anxious and amped up, or if they're too mellow. And I put lethargic, but actually a better word is complacent. If they're going into the race sort of, you know, oh, this is going to be a cakewalk, because that's when they set themselves up for failure. A good example is we went to Henley in 2003, and the Varsity 8, they were in the, I forget which cup it was, but they're in the tents, and they're all like, you know, it was the big day. This was for the cup, and these guys were just sort of like just goofing around, and, you know, they weren't into it, and they were setting themselves up, and I wasn't the head coach at the time. And, you know, because Bob was doing all his other things. And I got the guys together, and I gave them a total tongue lashing, because they were taking it way too easily. And they went out then and just destroyed, which they should have, the team that they were competing against. What would have happened if I didn't do that? I wasn't going to take that chance. But I was just reading what they were about, and I wasn't going to take the chance of them going out there, because, as you know, if you have a team and you're going at it a little bit complacent and they get into you, they're going to make your life really miserable. So congratulations, we made it to race day. Everything's good. The thing that I really tried to do was utilize my coxswains. And for the most part, I was giving them responsibility. You're trusting this person with the boat for doing the warm-up and getting them to the line on time. Why not trust them with getting bow numbers, doing all the little things, being your middle management to help you out, to make your life really easy. Gives them, you know, it makes them feel like they have a purpose, especially on race day. I put spy down as well. I always wanted to know the state of my team. And so as I was sort of tinkering on the boat, that kind of thing, I was always asking I always had questions for the coxswains. Oh, so how's such and such, who was sick or injured or whatever? How's he doing? Just to sort of find out the state of my team. Because then that really helps you to understand like where they are mentally and where they are physically as well. Set time to be at the boat or trailer. I always put 60 minutes before the race for last-minute instructions, meetings, psych up, all that stuff. Set time for last poo-poo or pee-pee. Now, this one was a sort of a hard lesson for me to learn. It was my first year at University of Washington, had the freshman. It was a decent boat, got the 60 minutes before the race. We're at the boat. You know, I'm firing them up. Spit's coming out of my mouth. We're sharpening up our battle axes. We're going to go take on the Huns. We're doing the whole thing, you know. We're fired up, and I got the guys, like, up into this fervor. They were just ready to go. And as soon as I finished my little talk, this one guy in the back raises his hand. I'm like, yeah, John, what is it? And he goes, I got to go pee-pee. And the group, you could just feel this collective sigh. Like, I mean, they were so fired up. They were ready to, I mean, they could have taken down anybody. And they just went like this. It's like, go pee-pee. And so from that period forward, I always made it where, okay, at 60 minutes, you have gone to the bathroom, poo-poo, pee-pee. I sort of made a joke of it and stuff like that. Because you want to be able to get the guys on a schedule. And I use guys, but, you know, all that stuff. To amp or not to amp. That, I think, is another aspect where reading the crew is incredibly important. Same crew. I learned a lot of lessons my first year. So we moved through the season. We're doing okay. We get to the IRA. Our chances of winning were slim to, I mean, we weren't going to win. We were going to be competitive, but we weren't going to win. So we get to the boat. It's the, you know, it's an hour before the race and all that kind of stuff. And again, like, I give them the whole number 7. I'm giving it to them. Come on, do it, do it, do it. You know, they're sharpening up the blades again and all that stuff. We're ready to go. These guys, like, they hit the water, and they're gone. They're up. They're warming up and everything. So I ride my bike up to the starting line, and I'm all fired up, and I'm by a tree by myself because I'm in the mindset, you know. And lo and behold, these guys, you know, they get up to the start of the race, and bam, they're out. I'm like, yeah, baby, yeah, they're going. And they're, like, going through 500 meters, and they're still, like, 42 strokes a minute. I'm like, what the hell are they doing? You know, and the coxswain's going like this, making all these sounds or whatever. And they're going like this, and I'm like going, well, they're in the lead. What the hell? Go for it, baby. And then they get to 1,000 meters. They're still at 42, and they're going like this. One boat goes through them, and it's like, you can see this, the boat sort of sags a little bit, and the next boat starts coming. They get a little bit of life. They go back up to like 39, 40, come back down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What this crew needed me to do on race day was to go, guys, you're fine. I didn't read them properly. I'm like, you guys are fine. You need to get up. You need to get into pace. You need to do what we've practiced. Because by amping them up too much, it got them so, I mean, they went out there and it was a totally different crew. I mean, it was ballsy for them to do what they did. But man, it was like hysterical. I'm like, you know, like all these coaches were riding our bikes and the coaches are looking at me going, what have you been doing for the past 2 weeks? You know? So, yeah, it was a good one. So, but the key points that I put down for like race day and race day prep is set times and be strict. Especially on the first few races, I would really nail my guys as far as being on time. If somebody wasn't on time, boy, they were going to get it. And I actually did this in practice too to get them sort of in the mode. You can't necessarily be lackadaisical about being strict on times in practice, and then when it comes to race day, you really give it to them because you're sending conflicting messages. So I was always about on time. If you're not early, you're late. Blades. Who brings the blades down to the dock on race day? I mean, Christ, you get them all rallied up, and they're all fired up to get on. They get on the boat. They bring the boat down, and they're on the dock. Where are the blades? Nobody knows. And then it's like, you know, chicken with the head cut off running around trying to find the blades. Ports, bring them down. If that's what you do in practice, ports, bring them down to the dock. Starboards, bring them back. And this is my only typo on this thing. I'm actually really proud of myself. Get them in the mode. Actually, it's get them in the mood. What I would always do, because we would always have vans, and so we'd drive up in our van, and the first thing I'd have my athletes do is go right to the boat and roll it down, get them into the mode that this is what they're here for. They're here to race. They're not here to screw around or whatever. They're here to absolutely put their best effort out on the race course. Have a checklist for your coxswain, bow number, weigh-in, phone list, all that stuff. Again, use them as middle management. Again, I can't emphasize enough that you really want to read your crew at practice. You got to read them the day or two before because that's going to give you the information you need in order to really give them the gas or to really lay off and give them just controlled confidence. Because sometimes all you need to do is just give them confidence that what you've been doing in practice is the right thing. Make rigging changes away from the team. And I put 2 a.m. works best. And the reason I put that down is because, you know, sometimes the coach will get all worked up, put the boat down and go, oh, we got to change the spreads and all that kind of stuff. And your actions really affect your athletes. And so by making sure that, you know, like you want to get down there and you want to be the calm, cool, collected one because they're looking at you as the person, as the guy or the girl or the woman, who's going to give them the information that they need in order to be successful. So little rigging changes, not a problem, or tightening things down, not a problem. But if you're going to make major rigging changes, I don't recommend it. Do it when they're not around. You know, send them for a run and then do it or something like that. Stay the course. Don't let the athletes see you sweat. And I'll do this in 1 minute. Perfect example of that one for me was we were at a race and guys put the boat down in the water and I think they were checking the heel cups or something like that and one of them wasn't tied down. And all the guys were freaking out. I'm like, hey, it's no problem. You know, and then I just sort of strolled up the dock, got around, and as soon as I got out of eyesight, boy, I was running as fast as I could to get the heel cup ties or whatever. I grabbed the heel ties, run back, and just sort of stroll down the dock. Hey, how you guys doing? Tie it down, all that stuff. Because it's again, you want to be the one that they're looking at as the confident the one that's really going to make everything okay. And if you're freaking out and all that kind of stuff, trust me, the athletes are going to feel it, they're going to read it, and they're going to turn into be, they're going to have the same effect. And it's not, they're not going to be able to put forward their best effort on the race course. Oh my God! Damn, I'm good! Thank you.